Well, here we are again. I'm very grateful to be joined by Gavin Chesterfield for another special episode of our Getting to Know podcast series. Gav, thank you very much for joining me, and happy anniversary. I don't know if you realise that today, the day of recording, is 3 years since Barry won the Division One title, if my stats are correct.
I really didn't know that, but thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking all things football. 3 years, well, that's gone quicker than I thought.
Yeah, I didn't realise until I actually went on Instagram this morning. It was on Barry's Instagram page, so I'm trusting it's correct. And I guess what a 3 years you've had since then. Really, it's been an amazing time for you.
Yeah, it's exciting. It was great to get back into what was obviously the Welsh Premier League then, and now the JD Cymru League. And it's been a great time. Met lots of new people, reacquainted with lots of other clubs as well, which is always a nice story of football, if you like. And it's been a roller coaster 3 years. In the first year, get to the playoffs and fall short. In the second year, to qualify for Europe, and this year to be fourth in the league currently.
Hmm. And we'll touch more on the successes you've had recently in the coming conversation. But I guess we go back to the beginning, if that's okay. I mean, where did this love and passion of football that you have come from? I mean, do you remember your first memories of the game, and what inspired you to love football the way you do?
I suppose, like us all, really, early on, first kicks of the ball, 18 months in a garden with your dad, you sort of always start to sort of build that love affair without actually knowing it, but for me, like the sort of grip really came early on. I look back on, say, childhood and things like that, and the one thing that just screams to mind is, I go out early on a morning to play my football. My dad was one of my first coaches, and then we'd go home. Mum would make food for us, and then I'd go then and be ball boy for my dad's team in the afternoon, and that just was a Saturday for, God knows how many years of my life. And without knowing it, you're just sort of being indoctrinated into this game that we love.
And when you were that young boy doing all that football and living football, really, I mean, did you have aspirations then to have it as such an essential part of your career and so on going forward, or was it just something that sort of happened?
Good question. I was pretty lucky. I was half decent, I suppose, like most, young players who can play a variety of sports. I was half decent at quite a few sports, and I just used to enjoy playing multi-sports. Loved rugby, loved cricket, loved badminton, loved any sport, but football sort of took over and become really serious, I suppose, from about 14 onwards. Mm. And as you say, the rest, I suppose, is the other sports have gone in the background now.
Do you find that a lot, that people do multi-sports as a young age, in terms of the players you coach now? And obviously you work with young players and senior players in your time. Do you find that a lot, that the sort of the ones that are maybe more successful are the ones that have played more sports as a junior, or is there no correlation there or anything like that?
Oh, I think all the research suggests that multi-sports is essential for developing those fundamental movement skills. It's difficult to sort of pin down an exact recipe, but for me, I'm a huge advocate in playing as many sports as you possibly can up until about 12. But up until, after that, I still advocate the skills a multi-sports bring. I suppose, the best example I can give from a Cymru Premier League perspective would be Christian Doidge, a fantastic basketball player that, brought those attributes, if you like, of aerial strength and quality and power to the game of football, and it's seen him make a really good career for himself. So for me, I think it's absolutely essential and something that we champion hugely at the club.
No, absolutely. And obviously, you've touched on the club there. I guess we'll move to Barry swiftly. you class yourself, I'll never forget it. It's one of the first things you ever said to me, and I've reminded you of it since about how you're a football romantic and all this. But Does the Barry story for you and your story there sort of epitomise that sort of feeling you have about football, do you think?
Yeah, we talk about football romantic quite a bit. What I mean by that is I love what sport brings to communities. I love what sport brings to people. I love the history of sport. You know, one of the first things that happened when I came to the club, somebody gave me a history on the club itself, and I read it, and you just feel connected with something. And since then, you know, Ian Johnson has written another book, which again is another sort of fascinating read. So I love that connectiveness with the history. You know, a lot of our older supporters, they have loads of "I was there" moments, you know, and they still talk very lucidly about them now. And I suppose what I'm proud about our story in particular is that we're trying to make our own history, you know, and we've created a little bit already. But I love history, you know, sport across the board. I love the Man City story, you know. You know, or Jock was a big part of that, you know, and going to where they did and then to where they are now, not really, you know, any other thing I could think of in life gives those sort of stories. And that's what I mean about, you know, a sports romantic, but, you know, football in particular.
You say that you see fans lucidly talking about their "I was there" moments. I mean, what would yours be? Not necessarily in Barry, I guess, but just in general. Are there any that stand out?
Well, at Barry, there's been some really good moments over the years, but I just get huge feelings of warmth, if you like, from success. You know, trophies, the massive part of what we're about. I love seeing young players come into the game. I love, you know, giving debuts and things like that, and seeing players push on as well, you know, particularly into the professional game. I get huge warmth from that. But, you know, whilst that's the coach and manager in me, I'm a supporter as well, you know. And you know, Euros were a massive thing to be a part of. Unfortunately, I only made the semi-final, so they can obviously blame me for losing that. But Hannah and I were in Ibiza at the time, and we were going berserk at the Belgium game, you know, in our hotel room watching the game on a, I don't know, it might have been a computer or a stream or whatever it was. And God knows how much money we spent, but I know it ran into thousands, booking our flights directly from Ibiza straight to Lyon, you know. So pleased to see those types of things, and numerous sporting events like the Open and things like that. I just love going to big events and sharing those things, you know.
It was one of my favourite things about the Euros, I think, was how superstitious everyone got the further on they went. I mean, there's some quite famous stories from people like Dylan Ebbs and Gary Pritchard and stuff like that. My famous story, you think you cost Wales in the semi-final. I actually ripped my shorts at half-time and I'd wore those shorts to every game. So when I ripped them, I was like, oh no, it's all over and it's my fault.
Well, I'll be honest and say it is your fault. I'm happy to have that weight lifted off my shoulders, mate. But no, it's just great to share those moments in it, you know. And as I said, I'm in sport for memories. I'm in football for memories, and those little things you can look back on and chat about, and they're really nice things to say.
No, absolutely. And I was reading, obviously, a bit more about you in the build-up to this, and I came across an old article that a club Peldroid had done, actually, where you said that managing Barry almost didn't happen.
Yes.
Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, well, a young manager, you know, and trying to take on a club like Barry Town. This was in 2007, June 2007. They've just been relegated into Welsh League Division 2, as it was then. And I thought, you know, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. Hannah thought I was a lunatic. But I went for the interview, and it was just generally get experience, you know. I played against the great Barry teams, and it's a club I would love to have been a part of, but I didn't get the job. The then owner decided to go down a different path, and I didn't get it. And, you know, that happens. But then, as fate would have it, probably about a week later, the other person didn't take up the job, and I was afforded the opportunity. And sometimes sort of fate sort of intervenes, and as you say, you just go on your path and make the best of it you can.
How do you approach that differently then, because of the circumstances you've got the job in? I mean, do you have more of a point to prove than you would have done otherwise, or?
Yeah, well, I had a point to prove anyway, because, you know, I'm not saying I'm a somebody now, but at the time, you know, nobody knew anything of what I was capable of as a manager. So, you know, to try and take on a job like Barry Town at the time, even though, you know, it's a shadow of its former guys, I was desperate to be a part of it. So whether that job came about by was first choice, second choice, ninth choice, it really didn't matter to me. I was just desperate to take an opportunity and give it my best shot.
And when you look back on that time now, you know, being the manager that you are, the experience you've had and stuff, I mean, what lessons do you think you learned early at that time?
Games about good people. you know, we got promoted in our first year, finished second. The team that won it that year were a team called Betis. We finished second. We got promoted into Welsh League Division One, and just, you know, largely made up of young lads who were from Mike Coslett's youth team at the time. Lads that, you know, I'd worked with at UWIC at the time, which is now Cardiff Met, who stuck by us. Friends, some of those as well. Local lads who we pulled from local leagues who done really, really well for us. And just built, I suppose, you know, together with lots of other people through your enthusiasm, built a really good team spirit, and, you know, made sure that the boys knew that they were lucky to play for such a good club, and they gave everything they had, and, yeah, you know, got promoted in our first year, and then back into Welsh League Division One, obviously Cymru South now, and we were competitive in that league as well. So, yeah, it was great.
And if someone had told you back in 2007 that you'd be sat here now having done everything you've done and been through everything you've been through, I mean, what would you have said to them?
I think you're a lunatic, I'll be honest with you. You know, you hope, don't you? You know, it's football, isn't it? It's that romance again. You hope it's going to be something you go into, you do really well at, you enjoy, you know, you feel a part of the club, etc. But you never really know. But yeah, it's lived up to everything and much, much more. And, you know, I always hope the best is yet to come. It's just maybe part of my outlook on life, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And you look at the last, you know, we mentioned it's been a whirlwind 3 years right at the start of this interview. But before, even before that, you know, maybe the last six, seven or eight have been pretty incredible for you. And when you look at that rise through the leagues that you guys went on to get to the Cymru Premier, obviously another team has done it, other teams are doing it and going through things like that. What does it take to be able to do that sort of rise and pull it off?
It takes huge togetherness and huge belief. It takes hard work, it takes talent, it takes luck as well. But it's strange, isn't it, as a manager, little things stay with you. And at the time, they might not seem so profound. I remember speaking to Lee Jarman, you know, huge player for us, part of the staff at Penobonc now. And he said to me at the time, he said that we're going through, obviously, a tough time. This was immediately after, you know, court case, and we're in Welsh League Division 3. And he said, we can't arrive back in Welsh League Division 1 or the Welsh Premier League at the time, the same club as we were before. Hmm. And I thought, you know what, that's really profound. Sometimes it gives you a chance to reset. Sometimes it gives you a chance to revalue, you know, revisit what your values are and revisit who you are as a club. And it's a horrible thing to go through, but I promise you now, I wouldn't change anything about it. It allowed me to, I suppose, learn a hell of a lot more as a manager. It allowed my players to grow with the club. You know, some of those players are still with us now. I think five of them are still with us from Division 3. I think it's nine who are still with us from Division 2, the Cymru South. Division 1. So that's the key things for me. And, you know, it's terribly sad at the moment to see, for example, Rhyl in a similar position. You know, a fantastic football club. But, you know, my hope is that they use that as the opportunity to arrive back in that place in a better situation and learn from what I suppose Lee Jarman said to me all those years ago.
And is it a bit of an odd one for a club like Barry in a number of senses as well? Because I guess with other clubs who might be doing that rise through the divisions, they'll be like, surely they can't get promoted again next year, surely, and so on. But maybe with Barry, there was a feeling that, oh no, we want them to get promoted again, we want them to come up again, we want them to get back to where they should be. So was that different, or you know, did you feel that sort of enthusiasm to want your team to get back to the top? Or
yeah, I think so. You know, coming through the leagues, we met some fantastic people who, you know, do a hell of a lot for Welsh football across the board. And you know, when you're in Welsh League Division One, what it was at the time, you don't tend to see a lot of what goes on beneath the system, unless it's like a Welsh Cup draw or a League Cup draw. Mm. But to see, you know, the amount of work that goes into Welsh football across all levels was just fantastic. You know, for us, we carried the name, didn't we? You know, and with that, it comes a little bit of pressure and a little bit of expectancy, but you can't mourn about that. I always say that pressure is a privilege, and that helped us become better. You know, the supporters that stuck with us, I don't think sometimes they understand the role they played in all this, because, you know, when I'm sitting down with a player and I'm saying, I haven't got anything really to give you apart from a fantastic club, a decent coaching setup, great facilities, but amazing supporters, it don't half help, because that helped me recruit players to the club and give people a fantastic playing experience so they could make their own memories. And, you know, quite a few guys who have now vacated our club have left with trophies and nothing but fond memories, I hope.
No, absolutely. And you, on that rise, are there any particular fond memories that stand out for you? Are there any moments where the situation hits you and you think, wow, or anything that stands out?
Welsh League Division 3 at the time. Gareth Morgan was coaching a team called Llanfairpwll at the time. And I remember we had a real good battle with them. We went right to the final, you know, a couple of games, and we managed to get promoted. That was a really nice thing. You know, coming through Division 2 then was a really nice moment. But if I'm being honest with you, the moment that we sealed promotion against Goitre in Welsh League Division 1, I remember getting quite emotional. I give Cosy a hug at the time. And we'd been through a lot at that point. But, you know, to get back into, you know, the Cymru Premier League now was just a hugely sort of satisfying moment, you know. It's been some strange bits along the way, I'll be honest with you. But, yeah, it's been fantastic. And, you know, as I said earlier, I hope the best is yet to come. But even if it isn't, we got some fantastic memories that I can look back on with pride.
No, absolutely, and doing something that not many others have done either in terms of the way you've come through those leagues.
Yeah, exciting. Not many others have done, but then at the same time, not many other people get the opportunity as well. You know, it's quite a rare situation that, you know, you get a really good club with fantastic sort of supporters and a great heritage that, you know, finds itself in that situation and has a chance to rebuild, you know. So, yeah, fair play to play a big part, if you ask me, as well.
And obviously you love your coaching and you love the aspect of player development and so on. And how do you, you know, especially when you're in those lower leagues, I guess, and you don't have the budgets and so on to bring people in, how does that love of player development help you in terms of getting the best out of what you've got, I guess?
It's strange, you know. when I first took over and we had no budget, etc., I give young players an opportunity out of necessity. This is me just being honest now. Those players had sort of earned the right. You know, I had a feeling they were good enough, but sometimes a situation, you know, is thrown upon you and players get thrown into a situation, it's sink or swim. And, you know, one of those players, for example, was Lewis Coslett. I gave him his debut at 17. In the first year in Welsh League Division 2, he played something like 30-odd starts and got promoted as a 17-year-old. Now, I might not have given him that opportunity. So sometimes circumstance throws you in a position whereby you give young players a chance. And, you know, he went on to play over 260-odd games for the club, which is immense. But the player development side, a lot of those players, I made a decision to try and recruit a younger team so that hopefully when we did get back to, you know, a level where I thought the club should be at, we'd arrive with players who are more experienced, players who'd hopefully won a few things, players who've got a greater affinity with the club, and players who still had room to grow. So a lot of the lads that hit the Welsh Premier with us, that had been in Welsh League Division 3 with us, you know, at the time were hitting the Welsh Premier around 25, 26, and that was a great age as well. So those are the sort of player development aspects of the role, I suppose.
And in terms of, you know, coaches that might watch what you've done and watch how this club's come forward and so on, I mean, what advice would you impart on coaches who, you know, look at your experience and want to learn from it?
Good question, really. One, you know, if anyone ever wanted to talk to us about, you know, the stuff we do, I'd like to think I'm always an approachable guy, but, you know, it's worked for us. It doesn't mean it's going to work for others. But the key thing was, I remember sitting down and I wrote a 1, 3, and a 5-year plan. And the idea was that, you know, if it wasn't me that's seen out the 5 years, there's a bit of a legacy or an idea to follow. And, you know, I suppose in some ways I'm probably different to most managers in the fact that, you know, I attend board meetings. I know what the bank account looks like. I know how the money, the club generates monies, etc. So whatever I spend with huge responsibility. the reason I mention that is that 1, 3, and 5 year plan had everything in there from, you know, crowds, facility development, budgets, community engagement, everything. And, you know, I've still got a copy of that today, and we hit every single one of those within 3 years, I think, out of the 5 years, and then we embarked upon another plan. So for me, planning is absolutely essential, but it's easy to say that when the plan goes to plan. Most of the time they don't.
And you, obviously when you did get back to the Cymru Premier, you were able to bring in more recruits and people who were eager to be involved in what you were putting together there, or what you had put together. And Kane was obviously one of those. How big was bringing Kane in to what you did? Because obviously Kane was someone who completely bought into what he wanted to achieve as well. And if anything, I think I remember him saying at the time that that your plan for what he wanted to do going forward was one of the biggest reasons why he wanted to come.
Yeah, signing Kane was massive. I tried to get him the year before to try and, you know, fire us into the Cymru Premier. But if I'm being honest, it probably wasn't the right move for Kane at the time. Kane, you know, lives off the, well, did live off the, well, does live off the back of the ground. You know, it's a club that obviously means a hell of a lot to him. He's a local guy. He does a hell of a lot in the community, Kane does. More than people realise, actually. And he's on his coaching pathway. He has a licence himself for the moment. And it was just, it was a big one for us because he was the first one, I suppose, that was a bit of a convincer. You know, when you get a really good player across the line, it helps then recruit, you know, other players to come and join him. And he bought into everything. And I think if you were to ask him, you know, 3 years later now, I think that he'd probably say it's one of the better decisions he's made. You know, he's come, he's done well for us, he's achieved sampled experiences that he hoped to sample. And yeah, he's a big part of what we're about as a club.
Take me through that first year then, back in the Cymru Premier. At what point do you think, I'm not going to say do you think you've arrived, because you'll probably shoot me down for saying that, but at what point do you know what I mean? At what point do you think we're holding our own here, we're doing okay, sort of thing?
If I reflect rightly, you might give me some different stats here. I don't think we won anything for our first 5 or 6 games. Didn't get a point. Well, we got a point in the first game against Aberystwyth at home, and then after that, it was a really rough start. But I didn't think we were good enough at the time to go toe-to-toe with teams. If we came out and we were possession-based football and we were expansive, I think we'd have been picked off and we'd have been relegated. In our first year, we were probably not the greatest to watch. We were, you know, a deep block playing into counter-attack, and, you know, often that was, you know, Kane on his own up top, for example, and, you know, we pinched a lot of games that year, 1-0, in the early part of the season, up until towards Christmas, sorry. But then in the second half then, we didn't lose a game after Christmas. I felt as if we'd grown a little bit then. You know, second block of 10 games, you know, after the split, I think we won something like 9 of them and drew 1. I made a mistake at that point, though. I felt as if I went into the playoffs and the boys were overcooked. You know, we were winning every week. I thought, let's keep the momentum going. And we arrived against Cardiff Met and I thought we were spent. But I learned that you need to be humble. I learned that the values of football about being defensively strong and resolute are so important no matter what the level it is. But you need players to buy into that. And our players were fantastic in sticking to game plans.
You picked up some big results as well, though. I mean, you beat Bangor, obviously, in Nantport. I think that was the first time I met you, actually. With Mike Lewis doing everything in his power to stop Bangor scoring. And obviously, I think it was Kane again. You mentioned Kane being the lone striker. I think Kane was the one that got the goal on a counter-attack.
Yeah, he was. It's a real strange situation that, you know, we talk about memories. It's just, one's just come flooding back to me. Mike was immense that day, and that Bangor team were fantastic when they played some great football on a fantastic surface. And yeah, they were a right good team. But it's strange, talk about young debuts, right? I'm looking for Louis Gerrard to make a substitution to come off the bench. Can't find him anywhere. Look down towards the corner flag. I need to change the game. I'm looking for Louis Gerrard. Can't find him anywhere. I speak to the stewards. Has he gone up into the changing room? No. Well, anyway, Louis's gone to the toilet without me knowing. So then I end up throwing a young player on, plays for Penobonto, a young player called Mikey George. He's 18 years of age. and he's gone on against Bangor away with about 35 to go and was fantastic. And then Louis comes on with about 10 minutes to go and was instrumental in setting Kane up for the goal to win 1-0. And you're like, these little things sometimes are meant to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And how do you, you know, after doing that, after winning that game, obviously, you know, the circumstances were what they were, I guess, in terms of, like you said, Mike having an immense game and so on, which was really helpful, whichever way you look at it, you know, his performance was incredible. How do you then keep people on the ground and, you know, and not let people get too ahead of themselves and so on? How do you deal with that kind of a win? Because established teams don't go there and win sometimes, you know, and you weren't established in the league at the time. So how do you keep the team grounded, so to speak?
It's a good question, because that year we went to TNS and won 1-0 as well. And that was real smash and grab. I think Mike had a magnificent game that day as well. But you've got to let people enjoy winning football matches. You know, you flog your guts out for a long period of time, and you've got to let people enjoy winning football matches. But I just felt our group had high levels of humility. You know, us then going for the next game was a new challenge. The Welsh Prem's fresh. So every week you had to be on it, and you know that you can, if you're on your mettle and you get a little bit of luck, you can go and get those results against the Bangors, the TLSs, the Connors Keys, etc., the Ballers. But at the same time, if you're not, you'll lose against teams in around the bottom. So I just think that we came up with a huge level of humility and honesty, and the boys sort of stuck to a game plan, which probably wasn't the most attractive. But when you get those results, it certainly helps with buy-in after that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned TNS there, and there's one particular aspect about playing TNS that I want to touch on. It's not the one everyone thinks. It's your coach driver. There's a particular story here that I'm not sure everyone will know. Can you sort of share that with us?
Oh, yeah. Anthony, he brilliant guy. You know, the boys love him, trust him. He's never lets us down in terms of getting to places on time. You know, fantastic bloke. But the best thing about him, you know, his banter's awful, I'll be honest with you. But the best thing about him is that his record at TNS is unblemished. So every time he's driven us to TNS, we've never lost. So listen, every time we play TNS, I'm taking him no matter what. You know, even if he leaves the bus company, he leaves Weedy, I'm flying him back to make sure he comes to TNS with us every time.
You can leave Kane at home and that, just make sure you bring the bus driver.
He's part of us.
And then obviously into year two, how do you build on year one? What do you go from year one and think, right, this was good, but we need to do this year? Or
what we try to do is we try to evolve a little bit. You know, some new recruitment of players, some people who, you know the league a little bit more. As a coach, I have a certain philosophy that I want to get to. Still not totally there yet. You know, we become a little bit more possession orientated, and I think that year we played with a huge sort of confidence and a huge level of belief, and that was built upon what was happened the year previous. You know, to finish third that year was like us almost winning our league. And that was something that we were really, really proud of. And, you know, the moment that we sealed European qualification at Bala was something that I'll never forget.
You were leading the league. You know, you were at the top or in and around the top for quite some time as well. I mean, you must have been pinching yourself at that point in a way. But also, you know, realising, you know, I know what you're like. You'll have expected in some ways, I guess, that you've got enough to compete with as many teams as possible. And if that's the case, then why not be up there?
Yeah, exactly. But I think we were top until about the last week of January, maybe even the first week of Feb. You know, we really done well that year, but we probably didn't have enough to win it. Well, time shows that we didn't have enough to win it, but I think we had enough belief to try and do the best we could. I think we had enough quality to go and compete for longer, but maybe we weren't as mature, I suppose, as a squad to be able to do that. And sometimes you got to go through those experiences of leading. You know, leading is sometimes not an easy thing to do. Sometimes it's easier to be the chaser, if you like. But for me, I think, look, let's look back on that season with huge pride. You know, we had a fantastic year. We had some, you know, record against the top three at that point was fantastic. And, you know, it's allowed us to sort of grow. And if you look at it, that first year of being very deep playing counter-attack football, the second year to being a little bit more possession orientated and, you know, a little bit more quality. And this year has been a strange year, actually, because, wow, we've suffered, you know, with injuries, and now everyone's back. We're not playing football matches. But the hope is, you know, we've brought in a bit more experience and a bit more quality, I suppose. And the hope is that growth can continue.
No, absolutely. And in that second year, though, you obviously had a lot of players in the Wales C squad and did the subsequent year as well. So that says a lot about the club's growth and development, that you've got so many players in your team that were in, you know, the best Welsh players in the league.
Yeah, and I'm so proud of that. So proud of it. And I think that was, yeah, was that the year they played at Jenner Park? Was that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, great occasion for the club, but to see your lads going out there and representing the country is fantastic, you know. I think we had six in the squad maybe at that point. But just it's an indication, yes, of course it is. But, you know, if it's up to me, then I'm biased, you know. But for Mark to believe in my players, I suppose, like I believe in them, was a bit of an endorsement, really. And, you know, people look at the Cymru, or the C squad, if you like, and I think it helps attract players. I think that, you know, a Welsh guy, you know, playing in the Welsh League with a chance to represent Wales is a fantastic thing as far as I'm concerned. And, hopefully those games continue.
And maybe, you know, in terms of, obviously you rolled your eyes a little bit earlier when I said about arriving as a club, as a team on the pitch, but as a club, you know, to host that game and to have so many of your players in that team, had the club arrived back at Cymru Premier level in that sense, if you know what I mean? Or
yeah, arriving is a difficult thing to sort of say yes to, but I think for the club it was a real good occasion, a proud occasion, and I think for the club then you think, you know what, it's great to be back. We'd hosted live games before that and they were great things to be a part of. We hosted a live game in Welsh Division 1, I think, when we played TNS at that was our first live game. It was actually the first game on the new pitch, I think it was. Could have done with it being a bog that day, if I'm being honest with you, but a glistening 3G with hammering down rain, wasn't you? A great time to play TNS at home. But yeah, for the club, it was a momentous occasion. It was a nice little pat on the back as well for a lot of the volunteers behind the scenes who've really gone through the mill with the club, you know, and to see, I suppose, the anthems being played at Jenner Park again is obviously quite an emotional thing.
And then you mentioned this year, obviously, up and down, I guess, is maybe the way you'd look at it.
Yeah. Look, we're in fourth at the moment, trying to chase down Bala. We've got a game in hand and we've still got to play them twice. All our players now are back. It's been tough. You know, I feel for young Evan Press at times. I think I've played him in every position this year. And I feel for Clayton Green because really he's been our only fit midfielder all year. So he's gone through the mill more than most. But do you know what? In some ways, you know, we're in and around that top three, top four, which I'm really proud of. You know, we had a fantastic start to the season. We were leading the league again for long periods. But I think that the feeling was that, you know, last game was away at TNS, 2-2 draw. Our second half performance there, I was delighted with. And the feeling was that we were hopefully going into a rich vein of form. You know, as I said earlier, with a level of humility, third is probably winning the league for us, if I'm being honest with you, at the moment, because I still think there's more maturity to come from this team. But to be in and around it with all the difficulties we've had so far, first year back in Europe, you know, little break, you learn things from that. I think we've done really well to be where we are. And as I said, the hope is we'll kick on.
And you're obviously chasing Europe again. We've almost glossed over the fact that you were there last year. I mean, where does that rank for you in not just in football, but in things you've achieved and things you've been through in your life to be able to take your team to Europe like that?
Very proud. Romantic side of things, because just like, you know, everything you've gone through as a club, and then you see some of the older supporters who never thought they'd see those days again, you know. I was absolutely devastated that it wasn't held at Jenner Park, because I would have loved for those theme tunes to be played out through the speakers there, you know, but that wasn't to be. Club made a fantastic occasion of it down at Cardiff International Stadium. Just immensely proud to be able to look at the boys with the embroidery on the shirts to go and compete against a team from another league, you know, and you learn from it. In the first game, we, I suppose, went back to our roots. We were, you know, organised and a deep block and played counter-attack and, you know, got a 0-0 draw. Away from home, we fell short. You know, Cliftonville are a good team. Difficult place to go, solitude as well, but we learned a lot from that, and not just on the field, but off the field. I think, you know, without going off it too much, the Irish League, in some ways, you know, we can learn a lot from in Wales. Cliftonville, for example, train 3 times a week. I think most teams in the league, apart from Lingfield, who are full-time, will train 3 times a week. And I think that, you know, that's probably a model where I think the Welsh Prem should go to be able to compete in Europe. People talk about summer football and things like that. I think that we can learn a lot from that league to train more effectively and to spend more time, you know, on a paddock and help us get better that way, you know. But it was a fantastic experience and learned a lot. And what it means is that you're desperate to sample more.
Is it odd this time of year? I mean, we touched on it right at the start. This time of year is normally when you're having your success. You know, you're qualifying for Europe, you're winning titles, you're finishing in the top three and so on. And you know, we're sat at home. You know, we can't play football. I mean, what's this time been like for you? And how have you sort of kept the boys going in a way?
Firstly, our boys have been absolutely brilliant. We were on a Zoom call last night with them. You know, and the banter's as good as ever. And do you know what? Sometimes when you're in the run of it, if you like, if you're on the treadmill, you're training Tuesday, training Thursday, maybe travel Friday, play Saturday, you know, rest Sunday, back on the treadmill again. And we've been doing that since May. Sometimes a little bit of a rest is a good thing. I said earlier, I felt as if we were hitting our straps at the right time. But, you know, we got no control over this. Boys obviously a bit frustrated because they want to play football. That's what footballers do, you know. And as a manager, I'm no different. My staff are exactly the same. But speaking personally, it's really given me a fantastic time just to sit down, reflect, revisit, you know, who I am and what I want to try and do, revisit us as a club and how we can move and how we can grow. But also, I'll be honest with you, it's just given me time with a family that has been absolutely precious. And you know, if there's one good thing that can come out of this horrible, horrible situation is that, you know, you spend much more time with your family than I've done in a while.
No, absolutely. And it's interesting, I was talking to, I won't name him because it will spoil it with the piece when it comes out, but I was speaking to an individual a couple of weeks ago about their top 5 moments in Welsh football. And their 5th moment was the next game, whenever that is. And I completely agree. I mean, how are you sort of feeling about getting football back?
Well, firstly, I think that's a lovely outlook to have. I really do. Because, you know, you always look forward to the next game. As coaches and managers, I've got a really sadistic relationship with football. I love it. And as I mentioned, a football romantic. I'm addicted to it. I'm obsessed by it. All the things that we have to be the best we can be. But at the same time, you get frustrated, you get annoyed, and you don't really enjoy it until the ref puts his whistle to his mouth and you've won the game, you know, and then it's on to the next game. So to have that outlook, I think, is fantastic. For me, the next game, look, I can't wait to get back, but, you know, whether we should go back or not is another thing. The main thing at the moment for me is the health of the nation, and, you know, that's the most important thing. The rest is beyond my control, I suppose. Whether it's this season, whether it's next season, whether it's whatever, football will return. We'll be there to give our best.
No, absolutely. And just finally, obviously you've achieved so much as a club, you've achieved so much as an individual in the time that you've been working in football over the last, you know, particularly with Barry and so on. What's left? What's next? What's on your target list for what you want to achieve going forward?
Well, you know, I said earlier, it's hard for me as a person that, you know, wants to compete to say that us winning the league is finishing third. I find that hard to say. So, you know, you obviously want to grow. You obviously want to get better. You want to try and compete at the top end of the league in a, obviously for us as a sustainable way. I think that, you know, I mentioned earlier the future for the league would be to grow, that every team trains, you know, three times a week as a minimum. I think what, you know, TNS do and what Connors Quay are now evolving into is fantastic. And I think it's good for the league. I really do. So I think that's something that maybe we'd look at it, Barry, in the future if the finance was ever there. Continue to grow players, continue to develop players. You know, we've got a really exciting development team at the moment that have just, you know, won their league and they've been undefeated this year. And, you know, the hope is now we can start to sort of blend a few of those, you know, into senior football. So that excites me. You know, you look at, you know, Jenner Park, is there something that can be done, you know, facility-wise to develop that? That stuff excites me. As I said earlier, I'm trying to be involved in all things as a manager of a football club and not just a manager of a team. But the immediate future at the moment is, I suppose, with Lottie. She's now 20 months of years of age. She's running around the place and every time a ball is close, she's kicking it. So you never know, man. I might be one of the most highest qualified under five coaches now in the next couple of years in young girls football.
Can she sign a contract yet?
I don't know, man. But yeah, she looks like she loves the game. She's got a shirt, you know. She loves going down the ground. She loves watching football on TV. And if that's the path she wants to go, then I'll be there to help her, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm really grateful to you for finding the time. I've wanted to have this conversation for some time now. So it's been really good to finally sit down and have a chat. Obviously, best wishes to you and the family and the team and everything like that over the coming weeks. And as you say, the health of everyone is what's important at the moment. And when football's back, we'll be the first ones down to the pitch, I'm sure, to enjoy it all. So, yeah, thank you very much again for your time. I really appreciate it.
No, likewise, Jay. Thanks for having me do for Welsh football as well, pal. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you, mate.